In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good evening to everybody who is tuned in on the live stream. And as we have announced in years past, and has always been the custom, it is the practice of the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese to read the Paschal Encyclical of the Ecumenical Patriarch before the resurrection service. But this year there is no encyclical from his All Holiness. And I would like to share a few words with you before we begin the resurrection service. And it's impossible to preach these days without alluding to current events. And that's just a fact of life. So rather than ignore it, I wanted to dive in a bit. And in no way do I wish to wade into the politics of the situation, principally because, as those who are members of this parish know, in the almost a dozen years I've served here, I've never preached about politics, nor would I ever intend to. There is a controversy, however, that is, I think, largely in the political realm, and it has to do with a belief in science. And some people are criticized because they don't believe in science, and other people say, I believe in science. And as somebody who enjoys reading about science and studying it, and my undergraduate degree was in mechanical engineering, I always am amused by that statement, I believe in science. Now, to be sure, science is a tool that helps us understand how the world around us works, the world around us works, and how the cosmos itself works. And that is an indisputable fact. And anyone who would not allow his or her life to be informed by science in that way is a fool, quite frankly. Science can even point to things that are very sublime. I mentioned in one of our online classes recently that people should take the time to go to bbc.com and watch the little reel they have on does physics prove there is no such thing as free will? And after you see this reel, which does a great job of explaining relativity and quantum physics, one understands that no, physics explains the Orthodox Christian understanding of free will and how it is that you and I can have free will, and yet God, who is beyond time, for him, everything is happening at once. And so from his perspective, everything is a quote-unquote done deal. Well, I point that out to you, not to be pedantic in any way, but just to remind all of us that long before the 20th century and in the discovery, if you will, of relativity and of quantum physics, that Orthodox, with a capital O and a small o, Orthodox theologians had a very clear understanding of how you can synthesize free will and God's being beyond time. And I say that because science is not simply just something that explains why it takes a certain length of time to boil water at sea level and another length of time to boil it up in the mountains. Science does much more than that. But I would submit also that if we are intellectually honest, then it's perilous to say I believe in science, because we know that science is limited. And I know this from my own life. I can remember as a little boy being told and taught that certainly by the time I'd reached this age, maybe even at a younger age, there would have been no more room for people on the earth. This was actually something that people taught back when I was in grade school. And then I can remember as an older young adult, I would suppose, that being taught that by this time, maybe 10 years from now, Florida would be partially underwater. And I was in Florida a year or so ago. I guess that has not happened yet. And so that scientific prediction was not exactly right. And as recently as the past decade, there was a movement that, and there were many adherents in the Bay Area that went to meetings. There was a movement called the End of Oil, that oil would soon run out. And that was, again, another scientific theory that apparently is not true. And I don't say that to denigrate science in any way. I know that it has its limits. Even with regard to the coronavirus, if you'll recall, those of you who were in church the last Sunday we were able to worship together, I made a point of saying that anyone who's ever studied math knows that equations that involve exponential variables, depending on what goes into informing the exponent, you can have wildly different results. And certainly we're seeing that as the mathematical models pertaining to this disease get constantly revised and re-revised and re-re-revised. But the principal reason that I can say as an educated adult that I can say I don't believe in science is because science cannot give me, and it cannot give you, it cannot give anyone, the thing that is most valuable in the world. Science cannot help us learn to love and learn to be loved. It can't do that. And we know how much it is that we need the love of others, loving relationships. To love and to be loved is the most important aspect of humanity. And obviously we are talking not only about our love for one another, but our love for God. But if we consider what it means to love and to be loved, we have to be honest with ourselves. Love is not always easy. It takes work. It takes attention. It takes forbearance. It takes humility. To love and to be loved compels us to rise above our own selfish tendencies. And if anyone exists who thinks that he or she is selfless enough, they're delusional. And especially when it comes to learning to be loved, then we have to learn to accept that love in spite of our own sense of unworthiness, even our own sense of shame. We can reasonably call Pascha the feast of love, because if love takes work, attention, forbearance, and humility, we have no greater example than the work of Christ. If love requires us to rise above our selfish tendencies, we can have no better paradigm than the selflessness of Jesus Christ. And if in learning to be loved, we have to come to grips with our own sense of unworthiness and shame, then consider the sacrifice of the Lord who allowed himself to be publicly abased, placed on the cross between two thieves, derided. And imagine then the shame that any of us would feel in that circumstance. But Jesus reminds us that even in our shame, even in our sense of unworthiness, we are worthy of love and can and should accept it. But how does one then accomplish this business of following the example of Jesus with his work, his selflessness, his conquering of shame and unworthiness? Well, I would submit that yes, you can read self-help books. That's a good thing. Even enter into therapy. That's a good thing as well. But we are about to receive the power to love and to be loved as we celebrate the empty tomb. If a person joins him or herself to Christ, if we join ourselves to Christ, then we will learn to love and to be loved. We learn to love and to be loved through our relationship with Jesus Christ that is ever developing, a saving relationship that finds us not only saved, but being saved. And as we consider the promise that Jesus makes to us that we may have life in abundance in him, perhaps the most important part of that life in abundance is this capacity, acquiring this capacity to truly love and to be loved. And this explains why being separated from one another as a congregation is so difficult. Our love for God is manifest in our love for one another. And being apart from one another is unnatural for the Christian. But just as the scandal of the cross brings the good news of the empty tomb, then this estrangement that we are living through also leads to many other revelations that are good news. Chief among those is this: our estrangement reminds us that we are not members of a social club. We are a communion of believers. And that is a communion that we pray will be restored very soon in the earthly sense. It is a communion that I know all of us pray we will continue to share with one another in the next life. And you see, there is no equation, there is no genome, there is no spectrographic analysis that can lead us to the bond of love that we share with the Lord and that we share with one another. And that is why, even though I love to read about science, to learn about science, to explore things technological, that's why I will never be able to say that I believe in science. What do I believe in? That's easy. The answer is found in the first epistle of John. Three simple words: God is love. I believe in God. and I proclaim his resurrection from the dead.